Loving God, we do thank you for the fire that burns within us, that's the Spirit of God in us. So thank you for the reminder of your presence, your burning presence. And we pray that this morning as we open your word, that flame would be an inspiration, that you would inspire us, that you would help us to apply your word, find instruction in here to apply to our lives. And Lord, we thank you for the encouragement of your Holy Spirit, the strength that you give us to face the challenges that we face, but also the strength that you give us for others to be a godly presence in others' lives, especially those who are going through challenging times. So Lord, thank you for this time in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, yesterday was a full day. Our daughter drove me down to Carlsbad so that Lisa and I would have one car to go to Anaheim. So on the way to Carlsbad yesterday, Melissa and I got to talking about human trafficking of all things. And she's a social worker, and I asked her, I said, do you know about this? And she said, yes. And, you know, she worked in youth homes. And she said the kids in these homes are so vulnerable to trafficking. And, it just was one of those conversations that did burn a little. I was frustrated that there is so much evil that would turn on vulnerable kids. And yet, that's the world we've lived in for so long. And it just was, here's my daughter now, and I'm talking about this, and I was, I said something about there being hell to pay for those who abuse the vulnerable. And that was just kind of how, wow, we was kind of starting off on a bummer here, huh? Well, then Lisa and I drove from Carlsbad to Anaheim to a park where there was a reunion of Anaheim First Christian Church, where I had my first job as a youth pastor. And we saw people that we hadn't seen in 30 years, 25, 30 years. And that, I mean, reunions for that reason are kind of humorous in that way, you kind of look at, is that really you? I don't remember that white hair. Absolutely, yeah. So, but I was impressed with the effectiveness of the youth pastor who was there before me. And this whole gathering was really about a reunion of that youth group that had really, his influence was recognized and appreciated by so many who were in attendance. And that's what we're looking at today, is Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount that highlights Christian influence, the influence of his disciples in the world in which we live. And so we're to have influence. So we're in Matthew chapter 5. We're looking at verses 13 through 16. Just a short passage, but so full of instruction. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Salt of the earth. It's the first metaphor Jesus says, you who are blessed with the character of the Beatitudes, you who are poor in spirit, you who are those who mourn over your own sinfulness, you who are meek, you who are hunger and thirsting for righteousness, you who are merciful, you who are pure in heart, you who are peacemakers, and you who are persecuted, you are the salt of the earth. So this is Jesus' metaphor, is that you are the salt of the earth. And salt in his day is a little different than just being a condiment. If you're like me, you would salt anything before you eat it. It's just a habit that I grew up with. But that's not the saltiness that Jesus is talking about here. In his day, it was before refrigeration. And in that day, if meat was to be preserved, it would be rubbed with salt. And salt would enhance the life of that leftover, if you will. It had a slowing effect on the decaying process. So I want you to think about that in terms of what Jesus is saying to us who are his disciples. Salt slows decay. When meat spoils, it's bad and it stinks. And what Jesus is saying is that you who follow me, you will help to arrest the decay of society. Yesterday, in my conversation with my daughter, I was a little bit amped up over some of the decay of society, this human trafficking in all of its terribleness. And what I hear Jesus saying is, you who follow me are to be part of the solution, part of slowing it down rather than amping it up. So, and he makes these two negative comments about the salt as well. If it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? The only way salt really loses its saltiness is by contamination. And so contaminated salt is useless. So it is supposed that as Jesus is standing somewhere around the Sea of Galilee, talking to these disciples who came to him, he may have made a nod in the south direction, because about 100 miles south was the end of the Jordan River that flowed into the Dead Sea. It had water that flowed in, but nowhere to flow out. And if you've ever been to the Holy Land, to the Dead Sea, you know that the salinity of that water can make you sit up and read a newspaper in the water. I tried it. It was cool. That was 30 years ago. But wow. But what he was also describing, maybe in his nod towards the Dead Sea, was it's surrounded by this white powder. And that white powder there's probably salt in it, but it's dust and dirt and all other kinds of contaminants. And that's no good. That you wouldn't rub that into meat to preserve it. That would be like just rubbing dirt into your food. Not good. I was reminded that our granddaughter went to the beach this past week, and Lisa said, "I forgot how sandy little kids get." Probably as she was eating her peanut butter sandwich in the sand, right? Yeah. A little crunch to that, yeah. Mm. So you get my point. Contaminated salt, no good. It is useless. So is contained salt. Contained salt is useless. In the 80s, Rebecca Pippert wrote a book called Out of the Salt Shaker. Out of the Salt Shaker. And in it, she referred to Christians getting out of our bubbles into the world, to rub against society, right? To have an influence. That's what her book was about, and that's, I think, what Jesus is talking about in this metaphor of salt. Getting out of the salt shaker, to be the salt of the earth. You know, we have a saying in hospice that if you see something, say something. And I really think that there's some wisdom to that for being salt of the earth. That if you see something, say something. If you are aware of evil, don't just ignore it. Figure out. Well, and what I would strongly recommend is that practice of breathing a prayer. Just stopping and asking God, what do I do with this? What do I do with this? And making ourselves out there. Learn to bring these to God and to offer yourself as a servant. That's, I think, what the salt of the earth reference or metaphor that Jesus is making. He's saying about his disciples that we have value in this decaying world. It will go evil quickly if we don't. And so there's tremendous value to the character qualities of being like Christ. And it has this slowing effect on evil. The second metaphor, light of the world. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hill. It is seen. So light is the gospel. The reference to light is the good news of Jesus Christ. You who are the blessed, the bearers of Christ's character, shine with the good news of Christ. So you and me have the hope of Christ within us, right? And it gives light to those who are in darkness. Now, you know that I do hospice work all week long. And this past week was it was beautiful. It was challenging. And it was just kind of hospice. So I visited a self-proclaimed agnostic. And it was very interesting because the request was made that I want to talk to the chaplain. And so I got to sit with this gentleman who in tears told me that all his life he'd been agnostic. And so I listened and I allowed him to share his concerns. And as a chaplain, my best work is never to judge. I think as a human, my best work is never to judge. And but I couldn't help but share how good God is. And he was crying, and I told him, I said, don't take this wrong, but I am filled with hope. I was laughing, not at his being agnostic, but at this idea that he's about to meet God, and it's going to be good for him if he understands that God loves him, that the price has been paid, that it's not too late. And that's the message that I gave him, that it's never too late as a child of God to turn to God. And you know what? I was looking forward to a second visit, and he passed away. So he is in God's hands, whatever. And I'm just so glad that there was that opportunity to shine the light of Christ on his life. Right? I can only say that that's the gospel at work. That's Christ in us doing what he does best, shining. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, right? We sang that yesterday, and I almost got sucked into it right there. That would have been terrible for you. Light is good works. Light is good works. that they may see your good deeds. Everything we do in obedience to God and His way of life, those are good works. Every act of kindness, every act of generosity, of love, just living godly lives. It's not to do so to be seen by others, but it's when others see, they glorify God. Right? So we don't have to have any ego investment in doing good works. We're just humble servants doing what Christ has enabled us to do. And that is to shine bright, to shine with Him, to be led by His Spirit. All of those things are good works. And allow Him to do that is phenomenal. It produces good things. It glorifies God. And the last comment is light is useful to all. Well, the opposite of that is that darkness can trip you up, can make you stumble and fall. Darkness is where evil loves to grow. And so, yes, light is useful because it exposes truth. So if you're ascending or descending a flight of stairs in the dark, you might not know where the bottom step is. And that can be dangerous. Same with going up. If you can't see the steps, that can be dangerous, right? Light is helpful. It's useful. It dispels darkness. Everyone needs light to see what we're doing. And as the metaphor goes, the light of Christ in you is the way for others to find God. The light of Christ in you is the way for others to find God. I think Jesus was telling His disciples on that hill, these standards are high. The character that I demand of my followers is unachievable without my help. But when you shine with me, you do much good. And He wants much good done in this world. Let's look at a few of the lessons that Jesus is teaching. Here's the thing about these words of Jesus. He is teaching His disciples. This isn't a teaching that was universal. He was teaching those who came to Him as disciples, as people who were saved. Ones who said, I believe you. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God. I believe that you have something. Right? So to His disciples, He says, we Christians are different. It's the concept of being holy, of being set apart for His purposes. Like salt and light to the world, our presence has an influence. I guess you could look at it as a negative influence towards evil. That it slows the decay, the societal descent gets slowed down, but also the very positive shedding of light on God's way of life. That's certainly, I would think, is an obvious message from Jesus' teaching. We're different. And I think that's what Rebecca Pippert had in mind when she said, you got to get out of the salt shaker. It's not like bad that we gather together to worship, but what would be bad is if we hid from the world and that we just said, oh no, you know, bad people. Ah, no. We are God's ambassadors to this world. And we, you know, take a chance. rub shoulders with those who are bad and find out how God can use you and me to bring glory to His name. We Christians are responsible. In order for others to see and experience the difference, we are to rub shoulders with those who are misled by evil and stuck in darkness. I really encourage you to see the people in your life, especially those who are either self-proclaimed unbelievers or just refuse to buy into faith. Don't be afraid to allow God to use you in their lives. Here's the thing that I think the balance of this is to, yes, be involved, but no, don't be obnoxious. There's a bird that's flying in here right now, and I'm just hoping he'll fly back out. Yeah, he did. Thank you. There's going to be a messy situation in a minute. But we are responsible. We're responsible with the gospel. We're responsible to slow evil in this world. How? That's up to God. That's up to us to trust Him to confront evil. And I would say, rather than get too amped up about a particular thing, be aware of the people in your life and focus on love. Love the people in your life. Figure out how to do it. Sometimes that just brings you head to head with the issue of forgiveness. Sometimes it brings you head to head with the issue of we're in a deep disagreement, and yet we're brothers and sisters on this planet. I don't think we have the right to judge another unworthy of Christ. So my thing, the way I read Jesus' teaching is, you act like salt and you act like light. You have a job to do. Be faithful. Trust me. Love the people in your life. Even when you disagree. Especially when you disagree. Folks, we're in a time when there is a lot of disagreement. And it is being loudly shouted from everywhere. Every advertisement, everything is shouting the differences. And please, please don't be torn apart. In Christ, we are one. It does not matter which side of a political aisle you situate yourself. We are one in Christ. There is no male or female. We are one in Christ. There is no Gentile or Jew. We are one in Christ. There is no slave or free. We are one in Christ. The family of God is united. Do we disagree with one another? Often. Often. Do we love one another in spite of those differences? Absolutely. Absolutely. We are responsible. And finally, our Christian influence glorifies God. This is the bottom line. This is what Jesus wants us to know as His followers, is that our lives are to bring glory to God, serving as salt to slow the decay and as light to show the way. God is recognized for being good and awesome. He is seen for who He is. He's the Savior. He's our Father in heaven. And He paid our debt. And that is to be witnessed by the world. And so we are his instruments of that goodness. So here's the so what. Mull over this, if you will. We oppose evil. As Christians today, we must recognize that we are empowered by Christ to have an arresting effect on the putrefying spread of evil in the world. You know what? Salt is not violent, but it is effective. And so I want to say that there's never a time that violence is okay for the Christian. And I'm not getting into nations. That's above our pay grade. But what is our responsibility is how we interact with others. And we are to oppose evil in and amongst one another. You know, to stand against going the wrong, an evil path. If you discover that you're part of something that's evil, stop it. Pull yourself out of it. That's where faith, God, this has been a, what if you found out that your employment was used for human trafficking? What? You would say, no, I cannot be a part of this. That's, I think, what Jesus is calling for us to be aware of is that we oppose evil. And evil can be very, very crafty. So be aware of the influence that you have and I have, and trust God with it. When something comes up that, wow, I didn't realize that I was a part of something so evil, pull back. Ask for forgiveness and direction, right? So we oppose evil in ourselves and in one another and in the world. Again, salt is not violent, but it's effective. We expose God's way of life. His ways are to be shown, to be shown light upon. Servant leadership is God's way. Okay, so when we read through the scriptures, when we read through Jesus' teaching, Paul's teaching, the New Testament, even in the Old Testament, while there's a lot of violence, it so often comes to a place where of just total trust in God, and his ways are good, and his ways are right. So yesterday at the reunion, I listened to a woman who grew up in the church in Anaheim. She told of how the lessons that she had learned had helped her to be successful as a librarian. She was like a top librarian of a county back east. And she said, I never went into the quote-unquote full-time church ministry, but everything I learned as in servant leadership that was taught in the church has applied brilliantly to my work. And I thought that was such a great statement that we have the opportunity to expose God's way of life by living God's way of life, by applying his way to what we do. Been very fortunate to have God's way of life shine in my hospice work. I've just been very, very fortunate. There are strict guidelines about no proselytizing. I don't. I obey the rules. But Christ shines. And he, right? They thank you, Lord. Yeah. Finally, we influence the world. Jesus' teaching here must be viewed in the context of both world evangelism and social action. As Christians, we have the character qualities and the responsibility to oppose evil and to expose God's goodness, His beauty. You think about that. There are some just beautiful things going on in the world around us. Good relationships that are uplifting. In this community, you got some amazing gatherings and fun relationship gatherings together. You have found ways to help one another. That's beautiful. That's God's beauty being seen in everyday life. His goodness that I hope that we experience in our, especially in our challenging times, to know that I'm not alone. I'm not alone even when I feel alone. I will trust in Him, right? I know God is faithful. I know He's good. I fear for those who are deeply involved in the evils of this world. I really do. I think human trafficking, scamming innocent seniors out of loads of money, which is happening right now through technical, terrible things. Peggy, who's gone today but sits back in that back table, shared with me and said I could share with you that she'd been scammed. An account had been broken into, and she hadn't paid any attention to that account, and a lot of money slowly had been draining from this. And she shared, she wanted prayer, of course, because, you know, who has all the money they ever need and don't need any more?
Yes.
Not very many people. Yeah, probably no one that I hang out with. But she asked for our prayers. And this is the kind of thing that just boils me inside, these scams. And they're so prevalent. And some of them are just so blatantly obvious, but most of them are so subtle you never know they're happening. And so I do fear for those who are scamming people and who are involved in human trafficking. And again, it's above my pay grade, but I can't help but think, Lord, I hope that my light will shine in somebody's life in such a way that if they are involved in evil, they will be motivated to stop. And that's what I hope that we, as the Church of Jesus Christ, will be in this world, is a light, a beacon of light to say there's a better way. You do not have to involve yourself in evil. You do not have to associate with evil. You can be free of that. And that's, you know, Jesus calls us salt and light to have an influence in this world, an influence for good, an influence that ultimately brings glory to God. Amen?
Amen.
Father, thank you for the Sermon on the Mount. Thank you for Jesus' teaching and for, Lord, the scratching of my head when I consider evil in this world. Because my tendency is to hook it on to somebody. But I'm going to ask you to help me to see evil from your perspective, and that you've called me to be salt, to slow its progress in this world, to slow the decaying process. Rub me wherever you need me, Lord. Rub us wherever you need us to be an effective agent like salt. And Lord, shine your light in us and through us so that others might see. I pray that gentleman that was so upset about being agnostic recognized you in the light that you shone through me that day. And I know who shone through his family. We do pray that anyone who takes their last breath here will wake to the beauty and love that you have for them. And Lord, help us to shine brightly in this world. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for creating this space for us to worship you. Please help us to take the joy of Christ, the good news of the gospel, that the price has been paid through the cross that Jesus died on, and forgive us of our sins and assure us of eternal life, that light will shine in and through us. And Lord, as we come to a time of our offering, I pray that you'd protect this time to be one of integrity, no manipulation, no pressure, just a simple time where we worship you in our giving. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.